Welcome back, everyone, to the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you for coming back to the mountain. The 2025 NFL Draft is in the books, and six players heard their names called. We'll go over each of those players' landing spots, including their chances of getting on the field. We'll end the show with a rundown of undrafted free agents, going over each school's rookie that has the best chance of making the 53-man roster. Fun episode this week. Let's dive in. Starting with the Mountain West players that were drafted, we're going to start from the top and work our way down. So obviously that starts us off with Ashton Jeanty, who landed at pick number 6 going to the Las Vegas Raiders. Not trying to flex here, but I did predict that last week. Currently the odds on favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, Jeanty will be the Raiders offensive focal point for 2025 and beyond. There was some chatter about him going at 4 to the Patriots, but once the Jaguars traded up to 2 and the Browns were at 5, it looked like destiny for the Mountain West monster to stay in familiar territory at Allegiant Stadium. We then had to wait a day and a half for the next Mountain West player to go off the board, and that was Jalen Royals going at pick 133 in round 4 to the Kansas City Chiefs. Royals had to wait a bit longer than expected, but he couldn't have landed at a better spot. Not only do the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, obviously, but they also desperately need a consistent wide receiver. If Royals can deliver, he could be a Pro Bowler in a year or two. One round after him, Torrey Horton heard his name called at pick 166 in the 5th round. He is going to the Seattle Seahawks. Horton aced the draft process and was able to be drafted despite his season-ending knee injury. In Seattle, he's in line to be a backup right away with the chance to be a starter by year's end. And at pick 196, Ahmed Hassanein from Boise State heard his name called, going to the Detroit Lions. What a story here. From picking up football in high school to becoming one of the most dominant edge rushers in the Mountain West to being the first Egyptian ever picked in the NFL draft, Hassanein has already cemented his legacy without an NFL snap. That being said, he's going to do everything possible for the Lions. This is a direct quote from his phone call with their staff when they told him their intentions. Quote, "Coach, I will die for you. I just want you to believe in me, coach. I'll die on that field for you. I promise I will." End quote. Maybe a little intense, I know, but you can see how much this means to him. From growing up in Cairo to an NFL draft pick, it doesn't get much better than that. And finally, in round 7, Keaton Crawford, the special team ace from Nevada, heard his name picked at 225 going to the Arizona Cardinals. Like we talked about last week, the Cardinals likely drafted Crawford as a special teams extraordinaire. We'll see if he can find his way onto the field when it's not fourth down or a kickoff, but it's almost a lock that Crawford will hustle his way onto the Cardinals 53-man roster. And the final Mountain West player to hear their name called was Ricky White III, going at pick 238, also to the Seattle Seahawks. Was super excited to see Ricky White hear his name get called, because after looking at scouting reports last week, I wasn't sure it was in the card, so just an awesome moment for him to be able to hear his name called. Despite not testing well, Ricky White III is going to battle with rival Torrey Horton for snaps next season. While injuries or breakout play from White could get him in the fold offensively, he'll certainly be a starter for the Seahawks on special teams. They may have drafted him off of his special teams tape alone. And now part 2 of this episode, we're going to run through every school's best shot at making the 53-man roster. Starting at the top of the list with Air Force, we have my first ever interview with the website, and that's defensive back Camby Goff, who is a minicamp invite to the Raiders. Just to explain really quick, if you're not aware, if you're signed as an undrafted free agent, it's a little easier to make the roster. If you're a minicamp invite, it means that the team probably just sees you as an extra body entering camp, so you have a lot more work to try and get onto that 53-man roster or practice squad. But Goff could theoretically play linebacker, nickel, or safety at the next level, and his high motor could earn him some respect with the coaching staff. After all, this is the same regime that drafted former Falcons standout safety Trey Taylor just a year ago. It's a long hill to climb to make this final roster, but if he does, the Raiders don't have any established secondary members, so maybe Goff finds his way onto the field at some point. Next up, we have Boise State. I had a couple different players I could have chose, but I decided to go with wide receiver Cam Camper, heading to the Jaguars. Jacksonville did not draft a wide receiver besides Travis Hunter, obviously. With size and athleticism, Camper certainly has the talent to fight his way onto the roster. I'm not sure how NFL ready he is, considering he only entered the draft and transfer portal portal after Boise State told him they didn't think he had a case for another year of eligibility, but his jump ball ability will pop in practice. Time will tell if he can stick around in the Jags organization. Colorado State is next on the list, and I have defensive back Dom Jones as my spotlight here, heading to the Cleveland Browns. The Browns decided not to draft a single defensive back this year, with their top three corners locked into their starting roles. That being said, Jones was signed quickly after the draft ended and has ideal size and agility to be a solid special teamer, or in a perfect world, a boundary corner. He'll have to adjust quickly to the physicality of NFL wideouts, as that was what he struggled with most as a Ram, but Dom has seen plenty during his 6 years in college, so I think he'll do just fine. Next, for Fresno State, I went with safety Dean Clark, who is heading to the Jets. Shout out to Mac Delaney as well, who got signed to the Chiefs as a wide receiver and return man, but I think Clark has better odds of making the 53-man roster here. For starters, as a Jets fan, I can assure you that this team rarely addresses the safety position on purpose. Let me explain. The current strong safety is Tony Adams, who's held that spot down for 2 seasons. He's an undrafted free agent out of Pitt that only got on the field because of injuries and inconsistent play around him. I think Dean Clark can absolutely follow that same path. I'm not saying he's going to be starting for the Jets this season, but I do think his instincts and toughness will stick out to new head coach Aaron Glenn, giving him a good chance to earn a locker. Now for Hawaii, I have quarterback Cam Stone, who is a minicamp invite to the Seattle Seahawks, one of the most consistent corners in the Mountain West over the past few seasons. Stone will have to fight his way up from the bottom to make the Seahawks' final roster, but he has the talent to do it. He notched 24 deflections over his final 3 years in college, as well as making a name for himself as a dynamic return man, a guy who truly plays with a warrior spirit. Cam Stone will make it as hard as possible for the Seahawks to send him home. Moving on down to Nevada, we're going with wide receiver Jaden Smith, who is heading to the Packers. While I had no choice but to pick Smith since he's the Wolfpack's only undrafted free agent signing at this point, the 6'6" journeyman could actually fight his way onto the roster in Green Bay. Last season, 11 Packers caught at least 5 passes, with several of them being undrafted free agents. Coach Mike LaFleur gives all of his wideouts a bite at the apple, and with Jaden Smith's unique combination of size, speed, and hands, who's to say he can't make a name for himself here? Next, for New Mexico, we have defensive tackle Devin Brant Epps, who was signed by the Buffalo Bills. Like Dom Jones, Brant Epps was signed by the Bills right after the end of the draft, so they clearly see something in him. The former Old Dominion transfer had a solid final collegiate season with the Lobos, showcasing impressive movement ability for a 300-pounder. Buffalo did draft 2 defensive tackles in the top 4 rounds, but if DBE can showcase whatever skill set that has already intrigued the Bills coaching staff, it wouldn't be surprising to see him make the final roster. Next, for San Diego State, we have tight end Mikey Harrison, a minicamp invite for the Broncos, a former transfer from Colorado. Harrison is an undersized tight end with plus receiving ability. At just 220 pounds, he would be ridiculously light for the position, but the Broncos do have a need at tight end. They signed Evan Ingram, a solid but injury-prone veteran, and the other tight ends on the roster are blocking specialists. If Ingram were to go down early and Harrison was having the camp of his life, maybe it is possible for him to start for a team in Colorado once again. Next, for San Jose State, the easiest selection on this list, that's wide receiver Nick Nash, who is heading to the Atlanta Falcons. Probably the most shocking player from the Mountain West to not get drafted, the receiving Triple Crown winner quickly signed with the Falcons, and he has a real shot of getting on the field. With Drake London and Darnell Mooney being the only solidified wide receivers on the roster, it seemed odd that Atlanta didn't draft a single skill position player this year. That helps our guy Nash out, though, as his crafty route running and elite ball skills could be just what the Falcons need alongside their 2 main options. Like most fans from our conference, I'm pulling for Nick Nash all the way, but being completely unbiased here, he does have a realistic shot at earning playing time as a rookie. Next, for Utah State, I have offensive guard Wyatt Bowles, who's going to the Rams, along with Boise State guard Ben Dooley. Bowles was quickly scooped up by the Rams to bolster their interior offensive line group. With only 4 true guards on the roster and none added through this year's draft, Bowles will enter training camp as the 3rd string, which is quite the head start compared to most undrafted free agents. Whether it's because of injuries or because he makes an impression with the coaching staff, all Wyatt Bowles has to do to make the final roster is stay consistent and not call too much attention to himself. Our second to last stop is UNLV, and I'm going with linebacker Jackson Woodard, who was signed by the Seahawks. Of course, it sucks that the Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year didn't hear his name called, but it it's pretty cool that he lands in Seattle and gets to be teammates with Ricky White again. Besides that, the Seahawks didn't draft a linebacker despite taking 11 players throughout the event. Add in the fact that they play a 3-4 defense, meaning four linebackers are on the field at all times. And I'm starting to think Jackson Woodard could work his way onto the field here. We'll have to see if he has the speed needed to make up for his relatively smaller frame, but if he can prove himself worthy, the opportunity will be there for Woodard to get onto the field. And our final stop of the episode is Wyoming, and we're going with kicker John Hoyland, who is a minicamp invite for both the Baltimore Ravens and Denver Broncos. While we don't know which camp Hoyland will participate in, I'm going to assume it's the Broncos since the Ravens drafted Arizona's Tyler Loop in the 6th round. The Broncos' incumbent kicker is Will Lutz, who hit almost 90% of his field goals over the last two seasons. As far as I can tell, Hoyland is the only other kicker being brought to camp, so if Lutz were to somehow get hurt or regress, then maybe the best kicker in Wyoming history finds himself as Denver's lead leg. That is it for this week's episode of the Hike Speak Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Congrats to each and every Mountain West alum that officially began their NFL journey this week. Also, our Mountain West College Basketball Transfer Tracker is out now, so you can find a link to the constantly updating list of portal entries in the description of your podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at MWC Connection and find all of your Mountain West news at MWCConnection.com. If you enjoyed the episode, rate the show 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on or leave us a review on iTunes. Nothing helps the show out more than that, so any ratings would be greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening. Lots of hard-hitting episodes on the way, so stay tuned. Until next time, I'm Jack Thompson, and thank you for coming back to the Mountain.